Who heard of Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner? Okay, there was a big tzaddik, Rabbi Yisrael. He lived in a town of Ruzin. Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner. Now, one time, Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner came to a town, a little town, and he was invited to come to that town to give brachas to the people in the town. And the people found out that Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner, the great Halakha tzaddik, is in their town, and that they can go see him, and they'll be allowed to go into his room, to Yechidus, and he'll give a bracha. He'll give a bracha to the men, he'll give a bracha to the ladies, and even the kenelach, and even the babies. And they were so excited. Where is Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner staying? And they ran to the shul to find out. They should ask somebody. And they said, he is by Reb Meir. Now Reb Meir was a very wealthy man. And he was also a big Talmud Chacham. And he had a beautiful, gorgeous house. I didn't say fancy schmancy because it wasn't in a way that's like not a Torah way. Okay, there's a way to be fancy, you know, fancy schmancy that you're just wasting the money or you're wasting the koiches to make things fancy. This was not so. This was just a very beautiful, nice, comfortable home. And the furniture was very expensive. And the couches were very, very beautiful. And the carpets, and the chairs, and the draperies, and the chandeliers, and the paintings. And it was beautiful, beautifully painted house, and beautiful wood. And there were glass things over there, and there were ceramic things over there. And all kinds of beautiful things, of course, to make a beautiful Yiddish home. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful Yiddish home, that you should feel good. And you should be able to learn Torah there and do mitzvahs there with harchavas hadas, that your mind should feel open to Hashem. Now, Reb Meir had been chosen to be able to have Reb Yisrael Ruziner in his house because it was the most beautiful house in the whole town. And the few days before Reb Yisrael Ruziner came, the servants and the family and everybody that stayed in Reb Meir's house was busy polishing and cleaning and getting everything beautiful and nice, and the cooks were cooking the food and everything was clean and everything was mesuder and organized and everything was mamish, as perfect as you can get, like a palace ready for a king. That's how they felt that Reb Yisrael Ruziner was going to stay by them, like the king was coming, and everything now was ready. And they also had one of the rooms in the house to be the Yechidus room, that Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner would sit there and the people would come by one for a bracha. Now, what was the plan? The plan was that whoever wants to come would wait outside, and one by one there would be a servant by the door letting in people one by one. They would come through the house, and they would go into the room to Rabbi Yisrael Ruziner. They would receive his bracha, and then they would go out the back door of the house. That was the plan. But you know, sometimes things go according to the plan, and sometimes things don't go according to the plan. What do you think happened in this story? It went according to the plan, or it didn't go according to the plan? It didn't go according to the plan. I'll tell you what happened. Want to hear? I'll tell you what happened. That day was a freezing cold day. Freezing cold wind. Icy, snowy day. One of those freezing winter days that you go outside and even if you have a coat and even if you have a scarf and gloves and boots, you're still cold because the wind is blowing so strong. And this is the kind of day that it was. Now, it didn't stop the people from coming. They wanted to have the bracha of Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner. So they were outside, and they were standing there. Men were standing there in their coats, and the ladies were standing there, and they were holding even little babies and little stretchies with little sweaters and gloves and coats. And the kids were there, and they were waiting outside in the freezing cold. How does it feel to be waiting outside in the freezing cold? And they're looking into the house, and they see a nice warm house. If you're standing out in the freezing cold, and you see a nice warm house, where would you rather be? Outside in the cold or inside in the house? You want to be inside in the house. The problem was that the people hadn't planned that everybody should be in the house. There were a lot of people outside. They had planned that one by one they should go. So the servant opened the door for the first person to go in when everything was ready. But all the people were very, very cold. And they didn't mean anything, chas v'shalom, any harm or anything. But as the door opened, everybody started to go in. Because, you know, you just think to yourself, inside is a warm house. And they didn't think, well, how many people are going to be in there? And if everybody goes in, what's going to happen? You know what happened? Everybody started to go in. And the servant tried to keep people out, but what can you do? What are you going to do? People are coming in. And men come in, and ladies come in, and kids come in. Now, all of a sudden, there are maybe 100 people coming into the house, maybe 200. And they're not really thinking so much exactly what's going on. And kids start to climb on the couches with their muddy shoes. And because there's so many people, people are, you know, it's very hard to be careful. There's very, very fancy things on top of tables and on top of shelves. And people gave a bump here and a bump there, and expensive things start to fall and break. And it gets crowded, and people start pressing against the walls, and paintings start falling down, and pictures start falling down, and some of them are breaking. And now, people with boots and mud, it goes all over the carpets and all over the couches. And now kids are now running around a little bit because, you know, there's a big crowd. And they bump into other things and start breaking, and they start climbing on chairs. And the fancy chairs get all full of mud now. And Reb Meir and his wife, all of a sudden, they see what's going on. Oh, if they are a house, it's getting all full of mud. It's getting all full of dirt. It's getting all wet. Things are breaking. Oy vey, our beautiful house is getting ruined. And more people started crowding in, and more things start to fall over and break. Until after a while, everything was just a big mess. The whole house was a big mess. How would your mommy feel if this happened in your house after it was all cleaned and nice? And kids are jumping up and down on couches with mud everywhere, climbing on chairs, playing around on the table, and breaking this and breaking that. Well, kinalach, Reb Meir and his wife just could not do anything about it. And one by one, the Yidden went into the room where Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner was sitting, giving brachas. And the whole day went by like this until the last people left. And now, when the last people left, they closed the door and they took a look around at the house. And it was like just like a big explosion was in there. Everything was destroyed. Broken, full of mud, everything. And the servants try to clean it off. They try to get shmatis, and they try to scrape the mud, and they try to fix things and glue things and put things back together. Broken chairs, broken tables. It was just a big, big mess. And Reb Meir and his wife start to cry. Oy vey, what are we going to do? Nobody meant anything. We can't blame anybody. Nobody did it on purpose. But it happened. The house is completely ruined and full of mud. Expensive carpets. How will we ever get it clean? And the chairs. And everything. And the drapes. Ruined. The painting's broken. And Kinalach, all of a sudden, A voice came from the little room. Reb Meir, Reb Meir, please come in to me. Whose voice was that? Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhner was calling Reb Meir. And Reb Meir is like in a dream. He hardly knows even what's going, where he's going. He's like so mished and so sad about what happened. He's like walking around like he's in a cholim. And he goes towards the voice, to Rabbi Yisrael, and he goes into the room and he sits down and he puts his head down and he cries, "My house is ruined. Oh, Rebbe, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm upset about it, but I can't help it. We worked so hard to make such a beautiful home. It's ruined. I mean, I'm glad that you were here. It was a great honor to have you and to have all the people, but it just happened like this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I got so upset about it, but, you know, that's the way I feel." And Rebbe Yisrael says, "Reb Meir, you're upset about all the mud?" "Yes, everything's covered with mud. Everything's ruined." Rabbi Yisrael says, "You're upset about the mud. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story. And I think when you hear this story, you're not going to be so upset. Of course, I feel bad for you as to what happened, but everything is from Hashem. Everything is Hashkacha Pratis. And you know, Kenalach, there's always a good side to things. There's a bad side to things, but you know, you can look at it in a different way, and sometimes you can find a good side to things. The same thing that you thought was bad, you could look at it in a different way, and not only it doesn't feel so bad anymore, sometimes you can see a good side to it." Now listen to this very interesting story. Now we're going to go to a story inside of a story. Now, this is kind of a long story, so you have to listen. The best way to listen is watching my nose. Now, most of you are watching my nose. You found it right away. Some of you haven't found it yet. Maybe you're looking on the wrong place. You think that my nose is on the wall. It's not on the wall, not at all. I'm not that tall. And if it was, I would have to fall, because then I would be stuck to the wall. My nose is on my face. That's the place. You don't have to run a race. All you have to do is look. It's on my nose, screwed in between my eyes, above my mouth, between my ears. That's right. Okay. Most of you have found my nose. Now listen to this. Rabbi Yisrael says, "Reb Meir, one time there was a family, a very poor family. There was a tati and there was a mami. There were six children, Kenanahara. There was a father and a mother and six Kenalach. And living in the house were also the parents of the tati." In other words, the grandparents were living in the house also. "The house was a broken house. The wind would blow through the cracks, the rain would fall through the roof, the cracks in the roof. The family didn't have enough coats and enough warm blankets, and they were shivering in the cold. And many times they just didn't even have enough food to eat, they didn't have enough money. And one time, the tati of this family was looking around at his kinalach, how hungry they were, at his wife and a torn dress, and his parents shivering in the cold with not enough heat from the little fire they had. And he thinks to himself, 'I can't stand it anymore. I have to go away and somehow make more money for my family. I have to bring more money so they can have more things.' And the next day, he decided he's going to leave and he's going to go far away to find some kind of a way to make money. Because close by, he tried all kinds of things, and he just couldn't make enough money. So the next morning, Kenalach, after the davening, he said goodbye to his family, and he starts to walk far, far away down the roads, and past the forests, and over the bridges, and over the mountains, until finally he got to the big city. over there was a big city. And all of a sudden he sees all these people and buildings. And he doesn't even know where he should go or what he should do, where he should start, how will he get money for his family. And he found a shul, and he sat down in the shul, and he put down his hands, and he started to cry. He was so sad about his situation. He didn't know where to go, what to do, or where to start. And all of a sudden, he sees somebody looking at him in the shul. A man was standing there, and he felt bad. He was just watching and feeling bad for this stranger who was crying. He comes over, he says, Shalom Aleichem, I see that you're a stranger in this town, in this big city. Can I help you? I see something is wrong. Maybe you'll tell me what's wrong. Maybe I can do something for you. And the man, the tati of the family, told the man about how he had come from far away and he was trying to get money for his family. Now the man in the shul, he says, look, I want to help you. I'm not a rich man. If I was a rich man, I would give you all the money you need. But I'm not at all a rich man. And I wish I could help you in a big way. But I can't. But the most I could do, really, is help you in a small way. And he reached in his pocket. And he took out three coins of money. And he says, you know what? Today is a big market day. A market day is where people go to sell things and they buy things and you can buy good things for not so much money. Take these three coins, go to the marketplace, and maybe you could buy something and maybe you could sell it in the city. Like, you know, you buy a place, you buy something in the marketplace, and then you take it out to the streets into the neighborhoods far away from the marketplace. And maybe people will buy it for a little bit more money because you're bringing it to them. Maybe you can make some money today with these three coins. And the tati said, but I don't have money to pay you back. When will I pay you back? He says, don't worry about paying me back. You'll pay me back when you're able to do it. And he says, thank you very much. And by the way, What feels nicer, when somebody gives money for free or they lend it to you and you're able to pay them back?
To give it more money back.
To give the money back, yeah. You're right. When you're able to pay back a loan, you feel better about it, because a person doesn't like to get something for free. It feels better that he's able to pay back. And so the tati took the three coins and he goes to the marketplace, and all over the place people are selling things and buying things. They have like little stands that they set up and out of carts and wagons. It's very crowded. And sure enough, he found somebody selling some pots and pans and some silverware and different things, and he bought it for three coins. He bought a whole bunch of it, a lot of it. And then he put it in a box, and he took it away from the marketplace, and he starts going through a different neighborhood in the city far away, and he says to people, who wants to buy some nice pots and pans and some silverware? And people came out of their houses, yeah, we'd like some pots and pans and silverware. And they bought the pots and pans and silverware. It's like a traveling store coming to you, so you don't have to go far away. And these people were not people that went to the marketplace that day. And after getting done selling it, he looked into his hand and he counts the money. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 coins. He started out with how many coins?
3.
How many does he have now?
6.
Well, he made some money. He doubled his money. Now he's got 6 coins. Oh, look. And he thinks to himself, you know what I'll do? I'll take 3 back to the man and pay him back. And the extra 3, so I have 3, I could buy some things for my family, some food and things like that, and take it back to my family. Oh, I'm so happy. He goes and he finds the man. Now, I forgot to tell you that the man who met him in the shul, he didn't just give him the 3 coins. He also took him to his house and gave him some delicious food, gave him a meal. And so now the Tati knows where the man lives. So he goes back to his house, and he paid him back the money. He wanted to pay him back the money, but the nice man said, "You know what? I gave you those 3 coins. You can pay me back, but I don't need it now. You take all 6 coins and buy things for your family. And later on, sometime when you make a lot more money, you'll pay me back the 3 coins then." So now the Tati has 6 coins. He goes back to the marketplace, and now he buys a bag of apples and a big bag of flour, and he buys different kinds of food and different things and clothes, and he buys some shoes, and he buys some sweaters, and he buys some socks, and he buys different things that he needs for his family and that his kids need. And now he has a whole bunch of packages, and now he wants to go home to his family. Now, wait a minute. He tries to carry all these packages now. He's got so many packages. What is he going to do? He can't even carry all of them. Now, Kinalach, he starts walking, trying to carry the packages. They keep falling. They keep slipping. And sure enough, that nice man that had given him the 3 coins, he came by to see how he's doing. He came to the marketplace to say goodbye to his friend and to say, "I hope everything is well with you." And he saw his friend, this new friend, this Tati from the family with all the packages, and he couldn't carry all of them. And the nice man from the shul says, "You know what? I have a horse and a wagon. Why don't you borrow my horse and wagon to take all of your stuff back home? And then you can return it to me. And that way, you know, like nowadays you take a cab or something, you take a car with all your stuff. You can't carry it in your hands." So he says, "You borrow my horse and wagon and you will take your stuff back to your family." Oh, he was so happy, the Tati. They get the horse and wagon, he loads on the packages, and now he's starting to go back home to his family with the nice food and the nice clothes and things that he bought for 6 coins. He's traveling on the road in the middle of the forest, and all of a sudden comes a rain, a big rain, and the road gets very muddy. Well, he's trying to go to get back to his family, and the rain gets more and more until the mud is so thick. The wheel breaks from the wagon. The horse slips into the mud. It gets stuck in the mud. And the wagon is stuck in the mud. And as the wagon tipped over, his packages tip over. And the apples go rolling all over in the mud. And the flour falls into the mud. And the different food things that he bought fall into the mud. And the shoes and the socks and the sweaters fall in the mud. And the things, the toys that he bought for the kiddies fall in the mud. And everything is now all over the place in the mud. And the Tati himself fell off the wagon. And he got a boo-boo. And he got covered with mud. Oy. Everything's so terrible. I had such good things to bring to my family. And now it's getting ruined in the mud. And the wagon is broken. And the wheels are broken. And everything's wet and it's cold. Oy. And he tries to get the wagon out. Can't, it's stuck. He tries to get the horse out. He's stuck. Oh, what am I going to do? And as he's sitting there in the mud, all of a sudden he hears another wagon coming along the road. Now, his wagon was a very old, shaky wagon, and the horse was pretty old, and the wagon was about to fall apart anyway, so it couldn't make it through this mud. Now is coming a beautiful, strong, beautiful wagon, not with one horse, but with a few horses, and this wagon was built even to go on a muddy road, and it was going with no problem. Strong, beautiful wagon. Must be a wagon from a rich man who could afford such a nice, beautiful, big wagon like that. All of a sudden, the wagon stopped, and the driver was on top, and the man inside was, whoever the owner of the wagon was inside, He stuck out his head. What's wrong over here? What's the problem? And the man said, my wagon broke. The horse is stuck. The wagon is stuck. All the stuff is in the mud. I can't get it out. The rich man jumped out of his wagon, Kinalach. It was a Yid. It was a Yid, but he was a very rich Yid. And tells his driver, come on, let's help this man. And they, first of all, get all of his stuff and they put it into the nice wagon so it doesn't get all ruined from the rain. All the food and all the clothes they put into the wagon. And even though it was muddy and even though it was all wet, so they still put it into the nice wagon, even though the wagon was all beautiful and nice. And then the driver and the man who owned the wagon, they start schlepping out the wagon with the horse, and they start to get it out of the mud, even though they're getting covered with mud. The rich man in his beautiful suit is getting covered with mud. First, they get out the horse. Finally, they get out the horse onto the part of the road which is more strong, it's not all muddy. And they were covered with mud. Then they get out the wagon, and they screw the wheel back on the wagon, they attach it to the horse. And of course, the first thing was that they save the man, they put him in the wagon so he feels better, the tati from the family. And he's sitting in the wagon, and the wagon is getting all full of mud. And then the rich man and the driver get back in the wagon, and the rich man says, let's take this man to my house close by and let him dry off and have a nice warm meal and rest a little bit. And they drive now to the man's beautiful house, and they bring the tati with all of his stuff into the house, and he's able to change his clothes. They give him some new clothes, they give him a nice meal, and they clean off of his stuff so it wasn't full of mud anymore. And it made a big mess in the house, but the rich man didn't complain. He was happy to help somebody. The rich man said to the tati from the family, let me take you home to your house. I don't know if your wagon is going to make it. I don't know if your horse is going to make it. The horse, your horse and wagon will ride behind mine, and I'm going to drive you home to where you live to make sure you get there safely. And they get back into the rich man's wagon. The borrowed horse and the wagon are behind it. The packages now, they put into new packages. They're in the rich man's wagon. The tati has clean clothes now. And the rich man drove him all the way to his house. And finally, the rich man says, I want to make sure you get in safely and I'll help you with your packages. They go now into the tati's broken, poor house. And the Kinalach have not seen their tati for a few days. And they run, tati, tati, you're home. And his wife comes. And his old parents, the Bubby and the Zaidi, come. And they're so happy. And the kids say, tati, did you bring us food? We're hungry. Did you bring us something to eat? And the rich man, he sees the family, how poor they are. How the kids are starving. And how they're just grabbing for anything that the tati is giving them. Oh, tati, thank you. A potato, an apple, a piece of bread. Oh, we're so happy you gave us some food to eat. And here's a sock and here's a shoe. Oh, it's wonderful. We're so happy. Oh, here's a shirt and here's a toy. Oy vey, the kitties are jumping up and down. They're so happy. Oh, tati brought us something. And the rich man, he says, oy, I'm so sorry that you have to live in such a house and you don't have enough food, you don't have enough clothes, and the kitties don't have toys, and they get excited for a potato or a tomato or an apple. And the rich man says, before I leave, I want to give you something for your family. I want you to have it and use it and enjoy it. He reached into his coat and he took out a bag and he gives it to the man. Please accept this. I want you to have it. And the rich man leaves. The man opens the bag after the rich man leaves, and in the bag are 600 golden coins. 600 golden coins of money to be able to use for his family and to be able to use for the Kinalach and his parents. Now, Kinalach, the rich man left and he went home and he lived many years. After many years, maybe 120 years, this rich man finally passed away. And when a person passes away, the neshama goes to a judgment in the Himmel. The Beis Din Shel Milah.